Sometimes most times they'd have a heater to heat the building and had little benches, a little desk or something to sit on.
What kind of a building was it? Was it a wood building?
It was a little wood building.
It was just one room?
One room.
Did she have a stove in it? And that
had a heater in it. Uh-huh. And the big boys at the school had to bring in wood and make the fires and keep the things going. And had to go outside to the bathroom, you know, whatnot. And she'd have a playground out. Everybody would have to come out at recess together because of just one teacher.
Right.
And sometimes she would have great big boys, too big to be coming to school, but they had to work in it. They had the school turned divided up into a little summer group. Maybe they would have the last of July, maybe, and the month of August. Then they would have to dismiss school so the children could pick up. Then after they got all the crops together and everything, maybe they'd have about 2 or 3 weeks before Christmas, and then it would have January and February and March, you'd have to come out again, go back to work on the farm.
How long a school day was it?
Well, school day was long, from 8 o'clock till 4.
Wow. Yes. Did each child have their own desk, or did you share desks?
Well, probably two at a desk.
Two at a desk.
That's right.
Did she have a blackboard?
Blackboard. She would give us a little seat work they had to do. We had to learn the multiplication table. She would give a little seat work while she was working with one group, the other group doing something else.
And you said that these teachers boarded with you all. Was it one teacher at a time?
One teacher at a time, yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the names of any of the teachers?
I remember Lillian Reed, not Carrie. My mother's sister was a teacher. That's the worst thing you can do, don't you? Get somebody like that. So Aunt Carrie, Scott.
You didn't like going to your aunt?
I liked it all right, but the other children would say that she was doing favors for you.
Right.
And Miss Cora Jenkins.
Miss Cora Jenkins.
Yeah, and she got married while she was teaching. And oh, we just thought that was the worst thing in the world she could do, get married now, and we're not going to have her anymore. But she did. Miss Cora Jenkins was one of my first teachers.
You remember what kind of training any of these teachers
had?
Well,
these teachers had training. They went to Benedict College. And, yes, they had a good training.
Now, when you left grade school, this one-room school, did you go next?
When I left this one teacher school, this teacher, Miss Willie Grant, was living in Seneca. Mm-hmm. My grandfather was living in Seneca. So when we left this one teacher school, we went to Seneca and stayed with my grandfather and went to Seneca Institute, she called it at that time. They didn't have anything above probably 7th grade or whatnot. So our four parents saw the need of a higher education. So they established Seneca Institute just as a high school. So we would go, it was a boarding school, but since we had people there, I stayed with my grandfather. First year, I think we stayed with Miss Willie Grant at her home on Oak Street of Life. So we attended Seneca Institute. Then after we left Seneca Institute, they would use the Seneca Benedict College.
Who started Seneca Institute? You said that your grandfather was instrumental in that. Is that right? Or
yes. They began, I had a book around here that you read about the beginning of Seneca Institute. Maybe I didn't pay too much attention to how it was getting started, but anyway, when I began to notice things and whatnot, it was already beginning to go. And now The first president of it was not Benedict, I think it was Dr. Starr. Maybe, but when I went there, it was...
Benedict or Seneca
Institute? Seneca Institute.
Seneca Institute.
It had already, you know, was going and whatnot.
It had been on several years before you actually
right.
attended.
It went, yes, because I think in 1915 was about the first, I don't know that that was first graduate class, but anyway, it had already, probably around 1910 or something like that. Because when I attended, it was around long 1920s.
Do you remember how many students were at the Institute?
They had students from everywhere. They came in from the lower part of the state, and North Carolina and Georgia. Had a lot of students from Georgia, Bowdoin students. It was a little Bowdoin school.
Do you remember how many?
Probably, I'll be safe in saying something like 300 or 400.
Right. And how many grades, like 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th?
That's right. They started at the 9th. They first started, you know, when they had a little grade school in Seneca at that time. The children would go to grade school, and then after they got to the 7th grade, then they would go to Seneca Institute.
Oh, so it actually started with 7th?
That's right. They started 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th grade.
Right.
And then they eventually went up.
Sometimes it's called Seneca Junior College.
Seneca
What's
Junior
the difference
College.
Between Seneca Institute
well,
and Seneca Junior College?
When it was the same school, but
right.
they just added 2 years of college work.
Oh, the first two
right.
years of college was
first
added on to the Institute.
That's right. That's why they call it Junior College. They added 2 years of college above the high school level.
Right. So you had the 7th,
that's
the
right.
12th, and then
that's
they added
right.
the 2 college years.
That's right.
I
and
wasn't
then,
sure.
And when a child would take these 2 years college, they would take an examination of something to, you know, determine whether they was ready for the next 2 years of college. And then they would have go to a 4-year college, like Benedict or South Carolina State, where they would go, and then they would have to go for 2 years.
Right, because they've already had
That's
2 years
right.
of junior college.
That's
if
right.
they passed the high
That's
school
right.
test and were able to go to the 2 years
That's
of junior
right.
college.
That's right.
Okay, fine. Stepping back just a little bit, where did your parents attend school?
My parents didn't attend school anywhere. That's why they always thought that there was a better way, and they wanted their children
right.
to have better education. And they knew about education and everything, but they didn't have a chance. They didn't have
now, did all 7 of you go to school?
That's right, all 7.
Every one of you? Did all, how many of you went on to college of the 7?
Well, all of the girls went on to college. That's right. But we usually had to take most of our college work at extension courses and summer schools and things like that.
And there were
that's right,
3 of you girls.
That's yeah. right. My sister Costina graduated from Spelman in Atlanta. Lurdy graduated from Morris, and I went to Benedict most of the time, you know, taking extension courses and summer schools and whatnot. So we had...
Where is Benedict?
Benedict's in Columbia.
That's right. No,
that's
right. Sure.
That's right.
Okay.
South Carolina State's in Orangeburg.
And where did Lula Bell go?
Well, she went to South Carolina State.
Where she went.
That's right.
Okay. Your grandparents, did they have any schooling?
No, indeed not. I didn't hear them talk about any
right.
schooling at all. I don't know how they did things.
And so you didn't know of any other older relatives before your group, before the 7 of you that had education then? It was, but all 7 of you, all you girls got to go to college.
Yes,
so
that's right.
So you graduated from high school, and then did you do 2 years at Seneca
that's
Junior
right.
College?
Yes. No,
and then...
Not. Yes, but I got married right along in there somewhere.
Oh, you did?
Well, yes, I taught, my first teaching school was in Westminster. I taught there for 2 years, and then I got married, and I taught at Pleasant Hill down here. Retired from Faculty Oakway Elementary School. One thing, up with that.
Okay. Ms. Childers, you were telling me that something that you prayed for when you were teaching. Would you tell me about that?
I don't know that you want to yet. It's, but at least I was teaching in a school where it was high off the ground on one side, and the little boys especially would have to go outside, you know, go, they had the excuse, and they was all afraid to go. One man said so would have to take two. They would go outside where my desk was, the last school that I taught, just before that. That they would go under the schoolhouse and bump up under that with a rock or a fist or anything and just to make a noise under that. And I said, Lord, please, if I could teach in a school where it wouldn't be high off the ground, where it'd be low enough if a child riding a bicycle just ride on in. And I lived to see that when they built these last new schools. They made them flat on the ground where you could just slide on right at the door. And I prayed again that they'd have indoor plumbing inside the classroom where they wouldn't have to go outside. And I lived to see that, and I'm thankful for it.
Well, and you had classrooms like that, or taught in a school like that. That's
like
great.
That.
Well, who was the first person in your family to attend college? Was it your older sister?
My older brother, Fletcher.
Oh, your brother, Fletcher.
Fletcher first.
And where did he go to college?
He went to Seneca Institute. Yes, that's right.
Then he went to Seneca Junior?
Yes, that's right, when he was teaching.
What trade
at
school
that
did...
At that time, when they was having what they called, that was just before World War One.
Right.
So he had to go into service at the time. He didn't get to graduate from school.
Where did he go to trade school?
Well, they had what they called as... You know, there's teaching farmers and teaching different trades and things like that at Morris College.
Did your family have books at home?
Our father, anywhere that he could get access to books, but now our really classroom books we had to go to. When the white children got through with their books one year, they would hand them down to the black students. We had to take some good care of them as we could. But at that, when I was growing up, my father subscribed to lots of magazines, and we would see advertised in their little books by Zane Grey. We would order the books. We didn't have anything like a library that we could, you know, get books from. But we did have access to a lot of books, like Pilgrim Progress and different things like that.
So you did have several books in the house.
We had a lot of books.
And your father?
A lot of reading material. He would provide us with that.
And your father subscribed to magazines,
lots
too. Do you remember which one?
Well, had what they call, mostly it was Farmers Magazine. But they had Ladies' Home Journals and things like that back then.
Did he take any kind of a newspaper?
Oh, we had just... Garment Factory was the first thing. It was not a Seneca Journal. At that time, he would take a daily paper, newspaper.
Was it from Greenville or Anderson?
And from Seneca.
From Seneca, there was a daily paper.
Daily paper printed in Seneca.
Uh-huh.
That's right. And then they had the courier, some type of courier. He would get newspapers. And a lot of times that we sit up reading papers when we should have been working, at least we thought.
You like to read?
Oh, yes.
Did the Seneca Tribune, is that, was the Farm and Factory
that's
first
right.
name for it?
Same thing.
Same paper.
Same paper. I think it's handed down. No, that's been a long time.
Hmm. Did your teachers ever talk about black history back then?
Not exactly. Well, they would tell us about the Underground Railroad and all things like that, but we didn't seem to take it in too much.
What about famous black men and women? Did you ever talk about them?
Well, they taught us about Booker Washington, and actually I saw in person, I can always appreciate that.
That's all right.
Yes.
Who is it you met in person?
George Washington Carver. I can always relate to that. And
where did you see him? And
well, he came. He was on his way to Washington. And the president called him to Washington. And he went through Seneca on the train. So coming back from Seneca, coming back from Washington, he was to stop over at Seneca Institute for a while and talk to us. We was young at that time. And that was about the best experience that I've had growing up. We appreciated that. And we had famous people coming in to the Institute to talk to us about.
Oh, there would be blacks that, yes, that actually came
black,
and talk.
They would actually.
These were educated people that would come in.
Educated people that would come in and talk to us.
Can you remember any of their names?
This lady from Cookman College, she established Cookman College in Miami, Florida. Hmm. Yeah, she came. We would be exposed to a lot of black educators.
That's wonderful. Did any of them ever read to you works of any black authors? Did you have access to black authors at that time?
No, but most of our authors, Longfellow and different ones that wrote poems and whatnot, they was usually white.
Right. Yes. How were the white schools different from the black schools when you were growing up? You said you got their secondhand books, for one thing. What else?
Well, I'm sure, I'm guessing this now because I don't have any authority over that. But I imagine that teachers went through probably, maybe their teachers were better qualified. At least I'm sure they got better pay than the black teachers got because they had white trustees over the black schools. And just whatever the little fragments were left, that's what the Negroes got.
You got the leftovers, you
feel. That's right. We got the leftovers and everything, but we made the best of it.
And you didn't go to school as long, did
no,
you, in the year as they did?
No, not. And we wondered about that because our playmates was white. And I think that's just horrible.
What about when your parents were young? Now, you said they didn't go to school, but that there were some white schools then.
Yes, they were white schools. Oh, I guess they taught the black children at home. I didn't say anything about it.
Right. Do you remember any educational groups or organizations in your community when you were growing up?
I asked that question again.
Do you remember any educational groups or any educational organizations when you were little?
Not that any that we were exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay. When you were young, do you remember any kind of organizations that your older relatives belonged to, such as fraternal?
My father's been a Mason ever since I could remember. That was the only fraternity that I know of. My mother didn't belong to anything like that.
But he was a Mason?
He was a Mason.
Did he have any offices in the Mason? Or?
Well, he was what they called a worshipful master. I didn't know too much about how to do it because it was a Masonic order. Anyway, they had a Masonic Hall of the Westminster, number Blue Ridge Masonic Lodge, number 17, number 95, I think they called it. He would attend that meeting, but he didn't tell us too much about it.
So how often did he go?
He would go maybe twice to a month, something like that.
Were there any burial societies that you knew of?
What is that?
Obviously you don't know of them. I mean, there must not have been. How about sewing clubs or other groups?
These groups came into being. Ours were grown by that time, and these sewing groups and craft groups and whatnot came in.
But this was after you were grown.
That's
already,
right,
after the 1920s.
Right. No, we didn't have anything like that.
Okay. Do you know where did you tell me the Masonic Lodge meant? Down at Oak Grove?
They had a meeting hall upstairs. They'd meet upstairs in a tall building. If the endless ministerial building's demolished now.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's where they met for the Masonic meetings.
Did they do anything for the community, this Masonic
group?
They would
do nice things for them. I don't know whether they went any further than their members or not, but mm-hmm. Anyway, but they would do nice things for people.
Oh, good.
They still do.
Do you know of any members of your family who voted in the 19th century?
Well, I remember before the 20th. My father, when they first started this voting thing, that we didn't vote. He did. He would go up to open sometimes they would get to fight him.
Was he the first member of your family to vote?
He would vote. I don't know that he was the first member, but I remember he was the first of my immediate family because he encouraged my brothers. In fact, he encouraged us all to register to vote, and that's why we did. But before we became old enough to vote or know anything about how it was done, he would go to Oakley, and the men up there, they'd get to fighting who was voting for the Democrats, and got it to one third, one from another, hardly. I just knew that the Democrats was the donkey and the Republicans was the something. That's all we did. But anyway, he said they would get to fighting about who they would, he didn't fight with them, but they, he would be up there doing at that time. We'd what? Take to see time come from the vote, whatever they was voting about.
You didn't like to see it because of the fight?
No.
What was he? Was he a Democrat or a Republican?
He was a Democrat. I think he was a Republican. And he said the Democrats and the Republicans one would get to arguing, you know.
He was a Republican. He was a Republican.
That's right.
And they would argue about it?
That's right. Yeah, they'd get to arguing. He said he'd get to just fist fight. We thought that was awful. We said, well, why in the world? What was you fighting about? He would tell us about the Democrats thought they would do it so and so, and the Republicans need to do so and so, and he'd talk about it. They would talk and say, and a lot of times they'd meet up in groups and we'd say, well, we'll get to stop. What? Now they're talking politics. We didn't even know what politics meant. But anyway.
Were most of them his friends and most of the blacks Republicans?
Yes, most, that's right. In fact, he would encourage the men. I don't know what it means. I don't know what that's talking about. And he would try to instruct them and show them which side was doing the most for who and whatnot like that.
So your father was instrumental in encouraging other men to vote?
Yes, yes, he was. He was very anxious to get the men. And I remember when they didn't allow women to vote. They called that the woman's suffrage.
Right.
When so that came into being.
You remember
women,
that?
That's right. When the women could register to vote.
You remember how you felt or what was said about
it? Well, I thought it was a good idea. I didn't know too much about what was happening. But I said, well, I think the women's supposed to have as much right, much say so about who's supposed to be in where as a man. We all have to live in the same society.
Did your mother vote then?
Well, she started voting then. My father encouraged her to. So she did. Yes.
Did he encourage the other women as much
other
as he had encouraged the men?
They started when they got this women's suffrage, when women could vote. He, oh, yes, go up and register. And they was nearly afraid to. We don't want to get into anything like that. But he would tell them it was safe and nice and whatnot. But it wasn't too pleasant.
So you remember,
I remember those
experiences.
Yeah.
Do you know if any of your ancestors were free before the Civil War?
No, I don't.
Mm-hmm. Once the war was over, do you know of any difference?
That war between the states,
okay.
I don't know anything about.
Okay.
Now, I wasn't. When was it? Was that in 1860
to
65. I see, I wasn't born until 1900.
Right, but sometimes you hear what your family
that's
tells
right.
you.
But if I heard it, I didn't pay too much attention.
You don't really remember.
No.
So my next question probably wouldn't be any good either. I was going to ask you if there was any difference between black people who had been slaves and those who were free persons of color before the war, and you probably don't know that because you said you didn't know any free ones. Or hear about
well, the only thing that I remember about it was
mm-hmm.
My mother was never sold. She was never sold. My mother's mother.
Your mother's mother
my
was
mother's
never sold.
Mother was never sold
right.
as a slave.
Uh-huh.
But now, when I have found my father's mother's picture.
Miss Childers, I want you to tell me about this picture.
Now, this is my father's mother's picture. You see, it's been through
life. Right, right. So this is your grandma.
This is Martha. Martha Gideon.
Okay, and where did she live?
She lived in Georgia. Somewhere in Georgia. She must have lived in Georgia because my father was born in, he used to call it Raven County, wherever that is. And she had all of his children, Thomas, George, I don't know whether it was full brothers or all like that. I don't know because they all looked something alike.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, this is Martha's picture. Now, this could be at least, I'd be safe in saying, yet about 180 years.
Years old.
Oh, that picture. But now, that's Martha. I don't know how we happened to preserve it through all of the conflicts and whatnot we've gone through.
But she was a slave.
But she was a slave. Now, this lady, like, I don't know whether she was ever sold on the block, as they call it, when they used to put them on. Now, we read about that either. They talked about it, and I didn't experience that. When they would sell a mother away from her children,
right,
put them on a block, put them at auction them off,
right,
and said the men would come in and look at their teeth and look at them, you know, just like there's a piece of property or something.
Do you know what she did as a slave?
I don't know what she did.
You don't know what her background is.
No.
Did your older relatives ever tell you anything about the way white people treated blacks?
Well, they didn't tell me anything about how they treated them.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, one thing that kind of stuck with me that I didn't too much appreciate, they used to say that slaves would work all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And on Saturday, they would have a little game they would play.
Mm-hmm.
They would put a black man, a boy, a young boy, anything, on a barrel,
mm-hmm,
and strap him on this barrel and start rolling it down the hill, and they would stand on each side. And each one, whatever he would, the person would come up, and the one that could give him a lick, you know, pat him, you know,
right,
face down on the barrel. And the barrel would be rolling, going over and over. And they would stand in long lines on each side. And the one that could hit him, that would give it. But if he hit the barrel, then he was a strike out. But if it hit the person, then it was, and rolled to the foot of the hill, things like that. Now, that was the only thing that made me feel like them. Now, I don't know that they treat them any other cruel ways or anything, but I have read books where at this Underground Railroad, when they would be slipping, trying to leave to go north and go places like that, you probably seen, I don't know why in the world a white man would have the heart to write things like that. But you've seen these pictures on television,
right,
where they would try to slip out and go.
Did your
I didn't see any.
Did your older relatives ever warn you about white people? Like when you were growing up, did your mother or father say something to you about teaching you to be careful around people or that kind of thing?
Well, they would teach the girls, yes. They would teach them to be careful and be cautious around them. Because we had to play with white children, boys and girls.
Mm-hmm.
And so they told us, you know, things to expect and whatnot. We were taught that.
Do you remember anything about any lynchings when you were growing up?
The only lynching I remember about, I was grown at that time when this black man was lynched in Walhalla. He was a Green, Alfred Green, I think. I don't know why, I don't know what he did, that they carried him out and hanged him up a tree and shot him. Then I was grown at that time.
You were a grown.
I didn't see it.
You didn't see it, you just hearsay.
That's right.
And
I have seen pictures of, down in McCormick County, somebody showed me a picture where they had a teenage boy hanging up a tree where they had finished lynching, and somebody made a picture of it where he was hanging with one hand. They they shot him up, hanging between them, shot him, and it seemed like they shot the rope of what it was holding, and he was part of hanging down. Mm. That's all I remember.
Right.
I didn't see any of it pushing.
How were black people treated by the law when you were young or when your parents were young? Did you feel you were treated badly by the law back then?
Well, we didn't have too much. We were always law-abiding people, and for that reason, we didn't come in contact with the law too much. Anyway, they established what they called rural policemen at the time that would go, you know, I guess they'd go up and down the road and everything. We would know a policeman we were seeing, but we never did get, wasn't anybody in my family ever involved in any lawsuits or arrests.
So if you saw a policeman, you thought of him as being good, not...
Well, most of it was good, as far as I know.
As far as you knew, right.
That's right. I didn't see anything wrong with it.
In your family, how did married couples treat each other? Was one person the boss, or...
the man was usually the man of the house, yes.
He really did...
He did the man's part, and we respected our men at that time.
Respected your father.
We respected our father. We could be having a good time doing all kinds of things. My mama said, all right, now y'all better stop that. Your daddy's coming.